Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Most every poll that's taken in recent years declares that half of Americans identify themselves as Christians. But if we look at things through the lens of Scripture and we stay with the Bible's description of what a true believer is, then we have to believe that that percentage is quite a bit lower, that one in every two people are likely not true Christians. In fact, I would be more inclined to believe it would possibly be less than one in ten that are truly born-again believers. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't say that with a critical spirit or a judgmental attitude or a holier-than-thou type mindset. I just say it based upon two things, two principles that the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave to us. One is the fact that over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 44, he says that a tree is known by its fruit, okay? So if a bush bears thorns, it's a thorn bush. If a bush bears plums, it's a plum bush. And he goes on to say in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things, okay? And so that principle applies. God says, you look at the fruit. I didn't make that rule. God did, okay? Now you tell me, do you think one in ten Americans bear the kind of fruit that would reflect that they belong to Jesus? I really don't see it. The second principle Jesus gives us is found right here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Verse 14, he says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So biblical salvation, which of course results in biblical Christianity, is a narrow path. It's not traveled by many, it's traveled by few. The way to destruction, he says, is one that is wide and it's easy to find, and therefore many people take that path. But when Jesus speaks of a path to destruction, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a life of atrocious sins or debauchery. The most traveled path to destruction will be one that involves people that think they belong to God, they think they're Christians based upon erroneous ideas or misguided teachings about salvation, but in reality they don't have a regenerate heart. There's going to be he says, many there be there that find that path. So it's important that you and I realize that it's fruitfulness in our life that reflects that we belong to Jesus. In fact, Jesus says in John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We can only bear spiritual fruit if we're truly attached to Jesus. So that's the foundation of our life, is our connection to Jesus. Without a genuine born-again experience, a person will never be able to build a genuine Christian life. So with that being said, here we're in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to move across the page from what we read a few moments ago, and we're going to look at what Jesus says in verse 24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus gives us this very simple yet profound parable that vividly pictures the very thing that we're talking about, the right way and the wrong way to God and to heaven. But before we get into it, I want you to notice the response of those who were hearing Jesus that day. In verse 28, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine or teachings. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Those who were standing around listening to Jesus said, wow, this is not your everyday teaching here. This is not your run-of-the-mill stuff that we've been hearing. This man knows what he's talking about. This man speaks with authority. Well, of course he does. He's the Son of God. He has authority. And so, friends, do you want popular opinion to tell you the way to eternal life, or do you want the one who has eternal life? Do you want to take the wide path that the ideas of this world put you on, or do you want to take the narrow path that Jesus put you on? It all starts with a proper foundation. So in this parable, we have two men. They're very similar. They're both builders. They're both building their house. Now, oftentimes when the word house is used in the scripture, it's used to describe the entirety of a person's life here on earth. Back in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He wasn't talking about brick and mortar. He was talking about, as for me, my children, my wife, my finances, my lifestyle, my job, whatever it is, we're going to honor God with that. You see? Talking about the entirety of his life. In 2 Kings chapter 20, when God told Hezekiah, he says, set your house in order because you're going to die, Hezekiah. What God meant is take care of all your earthly business because you're about to leave here. So you can see the imagery here when Jesus speaks of the two men building a house. He's talking about it's a picture of the entirety of our life, okay? Everybody's building a life. You're building a life. I'm building a life. My life might not consist of the same things your life does, and yours may not involve the things that mine does, but we're all building our lives. And I can't build yours, and you can't build mine. But it's by God's design that we take responsibility for our own lives as we build them. Now, this is something I believe that we've lost sight of in our society, and hopefully the tide is turning because of the drastic changes we're seeing in our leadership in the last several months. But for decades now, because of government intrusion, people have lost that sense of responsibility. Even many Christians, especially young Christians, we've lost touch with the idea that we are responsible for ourselves. Now, if you don't work or you don't take responsibility, the government picks up the pieces, you see. And the government, has that safety net and says, here, we'll do it for you. We'll pay your bills. We'll feed your children. The whole nine yards. Well, there was a time that wasn't the case. People used to take personal responsibility for their lives. And so really in a great sense, the society we live in, it's a very sad case, but Uncle Sam has in this way taken many, many Christians out of the will of God because we fail to take responsibility for our families. And being responsible towards God is more than just living a clean life. It's taking care of our families, our finances, and all of that. It's taking responsibility for the entirety of our life. And so both of these fellas are building a house. They're building a life. And as we see, one's going to do it responsibly and the other is not. I want you to notice that both had the same similar situation. There's no indication that one had a better quality of building material than the other. There's no indication that one had a greater supply of material so he could build his house larger. It all seemed to be the same. And notice how Jesus describes the wise builder. Verse 24, he says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. He likens those who are guided by the word of God to being wise builders of their life, as opposed to the foolish builder or as opposed to those who hear the word of God and fail to do it. He likens them to that foolish builder that's building his or her life foolishly. each category here heard and heard the same thing as the other. So the instruction is not the issue. We know what God's word says. The issue is following instructions. The problem is obeying those instructions. They both had the same opportunity in this parable. Folks, I suspect that nearly every American household has a Bible, very likely, or at least access to a Bible. There's a church on every other corner. There's Christian radio stations, there are Christian television stations, there's podcasts, Christian podcasts, all kinds of whatever through the media. There's all kinds. I'd say if there ever was a time that people were without excuse, it would be right now. Most every American has heard the gospel. Most every American has heard enough of the gospel to make a choice. And if we choose to embrace Jesus and his word, then we're building on a solid rock. But if we refuse to and we reject that, the parable tells us that we're as a foolish builder and we're building on something very unstable. Notice that they seem to build in the same general area. And the reason I think that, and it seems that way, is they had to be fairly close to one another because they experienced the same storm. The one built upon the sand and the other built upon the rock, but neither one had an excuse for not building rightly. You know, the one that built upon the sand, he really couldn't say, "Hey, I just had poor building conditions." He couldn't say, "Well, the deck was stacked against me when I started to start with building on this house." No, they were in the same general area. That doesn't work, folks. Excuses don't work. We hear anymore, "Well, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks," or "I wasn't provided a good education," or "My family was poor, and I really didn't have a chance, and my parents were mean to me, and I was bullied at school." And folks, as difficult as many of those things are, and I don't dismiss that, and I don't make light of that, but they do not give us an excuse to build our house on unstable ground. When it comes to Jesus, we're all on level ground. Socioeconomic conditions and domestic influences, no doubt, they have a bearing on our life, okay, on our personal life. I am shaped and molded by my young life, and so are you. But we all still have the same ability to build our lives on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Where will we build our lives is what's in question. How will we build our lives is what's in question. I know some very strong believers whose upbringing was like the hubs of hell. They experienced neglect, they experienced poverty, maybe dysfunction and abuse, but they made a choice for Jesus to be the foundation of their life. And they begin to build their life on that, and now they live very good Christian lives in spite of those setbacks. On the other hand, I know people who have had it all. They've had a very charmed life. They've never seemed to have the obstacles that many people have. But they did nothing with it that lasts an eternity. When it comes to building a life, they didn't build it upon Jesus and the things that would last. Folks, Jesus levels the playing field. So we've seen the similarities of these two builders. Now let's look at the differences. The first thing we see is the foundation they built on. One built upon a rock, the other built upon the sand. The word rock that's rendered rock there is Petra in the Greek. It's the word Petra. It doesn't mean a rock in the sense of a single stone or a big boulder, but rather it speaks of the great outcropping of rocks. An expanse of bedrock, if you will. Something unmovable. Something completely stable. It can't be moved. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid in Jesus Christ." When we build our lives upon Jesus and his word, it will be stable. It will be lasting. It's not going anywhere. The other fella, he built his house upon the sand. Sand is very loose, it's very unstable, it's unpredictable, it shifts. It has no foundational properties at all. Do you realize that the things of this world have no stability? They're constantly changing, are they not? There's nothing solid. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Man's ideas about eternity, they change from person to person. They change from group to group. They change from church to church, from religion to religion. Our personal desires, they change over time. What I used to want, I don't want anymore. I can't trust my feelings. They fluctuate. Popular opinion is something today that might be altogether different tomorrow. Dreams, aspirations, goals, they vacillate. They change. I've got a friend that he's on to the next new big thing every time I see him. And that's just the way he lives his life. I mean, I think the world of him. He's a great guy, but he's chasing dreams. And when he doesn't catch this dream, well, he ties into another one, chasing it. Well, folks, we can chase everything in the world we want in this world, and none of it's going to be stable. You know what I've discovered? The only thing in my life that is solid and unmovable is the things of God. 1 Corinthians 5:15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That makes it clear that the only way to have true stability is to abound in the work of the Lord, to abound in the things of God. That word abound, that term is used to describe a flower that's growing from a small little bud into full bloom. We've seen it in the last month or so. The spring weather has brought the blooming of trees and flowers and this sort of thing. A little small stem with a bud on it gets a little bit of sunshine and a little bit of moisture and spring weather, and it blooms full blown into a flower. That's a wonderful picture of what God can do with your life and my life when we surrender to Him. It's not much to start with, but it becomes something very beautiful when God gets a hold of it. So one built on the solid rock, the other built on the unstable sand. How are you building your life? Are you letting the world with its temporal, unstable ways dictate how you live? Are you letting the world call the shots? If you don't think that's a big deal, if you don't think finding a bedrock to build your life on is important, then it's just a matter of time because you're going to find out differently. Why? Because the day is going to come, just like it did in this parable, that the rains of life are going to descend upon you, and the floods are going to come, and the tempestuous winds are going to begin to blow, and then you're going to find out how solid your foundation is. They're going to beat upon the house of your life, and that's when you're going to discover what you've built on. You see, when these two fellows got their houses built, they both looked fine. They both stood tall. They had curb appeal. They were probably both very functional. One seemed to be just as good as the other. The average person who would have been driving by would have seen no different. Why? Because the problem lay beneath the surface, where others can't see. You know, we human beings are very good at keeping up appearances, are we not? We can kind of prop up our lives in such a way that it appears to be fine, when deep down it's not fine at all. We see it all the time in Hollywood and Washington, D.C. Everything looks prim and proper for the cameras. Public appearances makes everything beautiful, paints this beautiful picture, until there's an overdose or a scandal or a drunk driving accident or an indictment or a suicide or whatever. And then all of a sudden, Netflix has a new miniseries to tell the story. Folks, we can only prop things up for a little while. We can only hold appearances for so long, and eventually the storm's going to hit. The winds are going to assail us, and the pelting rains of adversity are going to come down upon us, and our life will then begin to speak for itself. If it's built upon anything short of Jesus Christ and His Word, it's not going to hold up. I don't want to sound like a whiner when I tell you this, but everybody has a story, has their own story. All I have is mine, and so I tell it. But in my adult life, I've had personal storms that were very dark and very tumultuous, and some I would think maybe that it didn't seem too bad, but when I was going through it, it seemed devastating. Had I not had Jesus to stabilize me and to hold me strong, I would have folded. I would have buckled under the pressure. Without the Word of God, I wouldn't have survived. But by God's grace, I chose in my early 20s to make Jesus the foundation of my life. Therefore, I still stand today. That's not to my credit. That's to the credit of the solid rock that I've fortunately, by grace, been able to build my life upon. Do you have that foundation today? Are you building upon the things of God? First of all, starting out with Jesus Christ and in His Word. And it doesn't just mean being a Christian. Remember what Jesus described the wise builders as? He described them as those that heard the Word of God and did it. He described the foolish builder as those that heard the Word of God and did it not. Are you a foolish builder or are you a wise builder? What's your foundation? Only you know what you're building your life upon. I challenge you today, if you're not building your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to change your building program. You need to change the way you're putting things together, because if you don't, it's just a matter of time before the instability is going to begin to reveal itself. You know, in an old house with an old shoddy foundation, you begin to see cracks. And then things begin to settle. In fact, there's an old house down the street right down here. Some of you probably know which one I'm talking about when I describe it. I've driven by it a jillion times right here on Panhandle, and it's very evident that it has a bad foundation. The front porch sags very drastically, and for a long time, the roof line down the sides was very wavy where the walls had settled underneath it. The lines of the siding, the old siding that was on it, were not straight. It would reveal where it had sagged and where it had not. And then all of a sudden, somebody decided they're going to fix up that house. And they came in there and they put a new roof on it, really nice looking roof. They began to install new windows. They overlapped the older siding with some new siding and made sure they got straight lines there. They did a lot of improvement in the appearance. But that's all it is appearance. Because it's still setting on the same very unstable foundation. No matter what efforts they've taken to improve it, over the long haul, it's going to continue to have its problems. Why? Because there again, it's on something very unstable that's settling over time. Friends, don't leave here today, and Brother David, you guys can come. Don't leave here today with the intent to go turn over a new leaf. Turn over a new leaf is fine. I mean, it's helpful when we do better things in our life, but that's not going to put you on a solid foundation. Don't leave here with the ideal that, hey, if I just set some new goals, if I become more disciplined, all of those things are positive things. But if you don't change your foundation, if you don't begin to build on something, that something being Jesus Christ and His Word, just like this house down there, there will be some improvements and it'll make it a little nicer house, but the problems are still going to continue to surface and continue to surface. Why? Because God meant for you to be in a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't leave here with the idea that I'm going to put my best foot forward and give this world the best version of myself. Well, that's good, but you hadn't changed your foundation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you've built upon the sand. And in time, it's going to shift. It's going to settle. It's going to move. It'll never give you the solid foundation that you need. Only Jesus can. I want to ask you to stand. God spoke into your heart this morning. You come. There's only one foundation. It's Jesus. There's only one way to live a fruitful Christian life. That's when you know Jesus. So as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's going to be paying attention to your business, and nobody's going to be looking around. If God's telling you today that you need to become a Christian, please come talk to me. Please come talk to me. Maybe you're here this morning and Jesus is your solid rock. You're a saved, born-again Christian and you know it, but you've just not been heeding his word and doing it. Well, that's very unwise as well. Maybe you should make that commitment today to get back to the Word of God and build your life upon that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to you.